You can't spend 3 minutes at a federal conference without someone mentioning innovation. Yet agencies still have a hard time getting it done. Now the Innovation Committee of the Professional Services Council has come up with one step federal agencies can take to improve their ability to innovate. Joining me with what it is, Dave Wennergren, Executive Vice President at the Council. Dave, good to have you back.
Thank you, Tom. Great to be here with you.
And so that step that agencies can take is actually involving a single position within agencies. Tell us which one.
Chief Technology Officer, which is a fascinating thing. Federal governments have front and center on their agendas this idea about we need more innovation. And so more and more federal agencies in recent years have created a position of Chief Technology Officer. Unlike their companion position, the Chief Information Officer, they don't have the benefit of a statute and 20 years of setting up organizations and figuring out priorities and giving it, you know, a set of roles and responsibilities. And so you see in the job of CTO a broad range of where it's placed in the organization, what it works on. But the common theme across all the federal agencies at the moment is they expect their CTOs to be able to bring innovation from outside in the commercial world into government.
Interesting, because as you mentioned, the CTO does not have that statutory backing, but neither do a lot of types of jobs, like program analyst, for example. Yet you couldn't imagine an agency running a major program without analysts.
That's true. And of course, you know, where you sit in the organization makes a difference too. The role of CTO at the DHS, Department of Homeland Security level, is different than what you might expect in an operating bureau. And so we actually think statute is the least of the issues. But we do think, and in the study, we point out some recommendations around what should be the priorities for the job, where should it be organizationally placed to help effect change, and the benefits of collaboration with a CTO council and some other things like that.
And before we get to those, just give us an idea of how you went about getting to these conclusions.
Absolutely. So we had two of our members, Robin Leinberger from Deloitte and Casey Coleman, former GSA CIO now at Unisys, lead a group of current and former, I'll say, industry CTOs and other folks. And then we discussed things with current federal government CTOs, recently departed federal CTOs, did some research about jobs and placement and things like that, and developed a set of recommendations. So over the course of a few months, gathered a lot of information, talked to a lot of CTOs, and came up with sort of a wish list of these are the things that seem to be key indicators of being able to get the job done.
And did you also talk to commercial company CTOs?
Yes. In fact, we had commercial company CTOs involved in the study process.
All right, so let's get to the first conclusion, or the main thing is, where do you properly put the chief technology officer in the hierarchy so that they can be most effective?
We believe that the CTO has to have a reporting relationship with the agency chief information officer. CTO positions are all about bringing in new information technology, but much like a relationship with a chief information security officer, there's a CIO who has a set of statutory authorities and ability to affect change inside of an organization. And sometimes when the CTO is only like aligned as an advisor to the agency head, they may have a lot of access to the leadership of the organization, but it becomes harder for them to make the change stick.
And what is the usual practice now at agencies? Because I see a lot of them that seem to do report to the CIO.
Yes, the majority of them do, but some of them don't. And so that's one of the things that we make a recommendation about, that you really do need to have the CIO and the CTO lashed together. And in fact, at the federal government level, you have a United States CTO who works in the Office of Science and Technology Policy. So that's a great place to be around a lot of experts in the field of science and technology advancement, but the Office of Science and Technology Policy doesn't have the same ability to affect change across the federal government that, for example, a Tony Scott does, working out of the Office of Management and Budget. So another one of our recommendations is that at the federal level, you ought to have the CTO over at OMB with the CIO, where we can actually use that position to help rally the CTOs at agencies to deliver results.
We're speaking with Dave Wennergren, the Executive Vice President of the Professional Services Council. And functionally then, once the CTO is in the right place in the organization, what should they do to help this whole idea of modernizing and innovation and making things work better?
Well, there is no doubt that, I'll say, the sort of twin pillars of technology reform in federal agency right now focus on an aging legacy infrastructure base that is no longer supported by many manufacturers and not very secure. So these pillars of IT modernization and cybersecurity are just driving so many things. 80% of federal IT budgets get spent on sustaining a legacy base, and we seek a world that is much more focused on digital services. Well, digital services and solutions work much better in a modern infrastructure, get it through the cloud kind of world than it does on an aging legacy base. So CTOs, first and foremost, really need to embrace this idea about their job is to bring in innovative new technologies into their agency with a focus on the mission of the agency rather than, I'll say, shiny object syndrome of just any new technology you can find. But what really is the mission of the organization and how could we better leverage technology to deliver results? So we talk a lot about this idea about how you work with industry and developing technology roadmaps and actually aligning the financial priorities and contracting priorities of the organization to encourage the adoption of innovative technologies rather than, as we often do now, discourage.
Would it be oversimplifying to say then that the CIO should really focus on policy, whereas the CTO should focus on how to get it done and implementation?
Yes, and particularly inside of an organization, because again, if you're down deeper in the organization, then it really should be about getting the mission technology delivered. You sort of view it as there's an overarching set of responsibilities that a CIO has around information technology, people, and processes. And so who's actually driving, who has that eye to the future about what technologies are coming? Think about everything from the Internet of Things to autonomous vehicles. I mean, there's just so many changes in technology. And will government be prepared to take advantage of those changes? And that's the place where the CTO can make a big difference.
For that to happen, though, judging from what I hear typically out of the mouths of CIOs, the CIOs would have to step aside on part of what they'd like to focus on, which is technology, and really maybe give that up a little bit so that the CTO can fill in there.
Well, if you look at a number of agencies, think NASA, Army, there's a lot of agencies where they've created a good relationship where the CTO, operates under the authority of the CIO but has a certain set of responsibilities. If you imagine your CIO as a strategic business leader in your organization rather than, say, a network administrator, then that's a really big job in these big federal agencies. And you need a really strong cybersecurity expert. You need a really strong technology advocate. You need people that are working on business process change. So I think there's plenty of room to have an aggressive, forward-leaning CTO who's got the eye on where the technology is going in the future that can help the CIO get that job done.
And do you have a sense from the study and from the discussions of what type of background or education or experience a great chief technology officer would need?
Yeah, well, I think there's no one-size-fits-all, but clearly I think there's this interesting nexus between understanding the mission of the agency, because if you're completely disassociated with what it is that the agency is getting done, then your technology ideas might have less relevancy. So this nexus of your savvy in technology advancements and your savvy in what the agency is trying to get done can really help make the job more successful.
And the council will unveil the report in detail next week at your conference.
Yes, at our Tech Trends Conference, the Professional Services Council Tech Trends Conference in Arlington, Virginia next week. I encourage your listeners to come and come in here. We'll talk more about the CTO study. We'll have the Army CTO there. We'll have Robin and Casey, the team leaders for the study report.
Everybody knows them.
There you go. That's right. And we'll also be unveiling our annual CIO survey. So we'll have a panel of federal CIOs there, as well as talking about cybersecurity with the OPM Senior Cybersecurity Advisor and talk about tech trends and where they're going in the federal marketplace.
Dave Wennergren is Executive Vice President of the Professional Services Council. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Great to be here with you.
You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.